We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in by choice to 91FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. We are so thankful that we have this opportunity to spend the next half hour with you. Some of you may be on your way to work. If you're listening at 5 o'clock, you may be on your way home from work. Some of you may be listening at 10:30 of a morning where you are listening as you work. But however, whenever you choose to listen, we are thankful to be a part of your day. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. And for about 5.5 years now, we've been coming to you Monday through Friday and talking about the Word of God. Recently, we had a guest speaker at church, and it was somebody that was a blessing to me in Bible college. He was not that much older than I was, but he was the district youth director, and he blessed me with my only scholarship that I had whenever I went to Bible college, and it was a big time blessing. It was a big time blessing, and he was talking about we were talking about the radio program here, and he's like, you do a radio program a half hour a day, 5 days a week. What type of program is it? And I said, well, it's a conversational style teaching program. That's what we do. And he's like, how do you do all of that? And it's like, you know, it's just what God led us to do. And if God leads you to do something, he is going to enable you and equip you to do that. And so we are pleased to come and spend this time, and hopefully it is a blessing into your life. Now, I will tell you that this study that we are doing right now, this has been a major blessing to me, because it's giving a lot more detail into that ambiguous cloud of what does leadership look like. And so right now we're talking about God lead, you know, we're going through the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but we're talking about, so if God will not lead us into temptation, what will he lead us into? How will he lead us? And right now we have been talking since yesterday on God leads through authority. And you and I, that authority, it can't be sanctified authority. If it's self-appointed, then there may be a problem in the process there. We need to have that authority that is given to us, hopefully by our Creator. That's where the ultimate authority comes from. And so yesterday we talked about how God had led through the authority of Moses and Aaron. And then he later led them through Joshua to lead them out and to bring them into the promised land, that he led through captains. We also talked just a little bit about that erroneous leaders, and some of those were kings. Some of those were kings in Israel and Judah, that they led the people into error. And that led to the destruction, not just of the king, but many times it led to the destruction of many, many good people. It's very, very important. I believe that when choosing leaders, that it should be a time of fasting and prayer. That's what Jesus did when it came time to choose the apostles. He went away and he spent time in prayer, because it was very important who he taught the principles to as his inner circle, because they were going to be the ones charged with the responsibility of leading by authority in the kingdom after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Please do not think that God is into spiritual anarchy, because he's not. Anarchy is when everybody does what is right in their own eyes. If it feels right, do it. That's anarchy. You know, well, because I can, I'm going to. That's bullying. That's not godly leadership. We need to lead in a godly manner. Let me take you to a passage today. We'll finish up on this. We'll probably start on a different aspect of leadership as well today. I just didn't get through everything on yesterday's program. So I'm going to take you to 1 Chronicles chapter 20. 1 Chronicles, right before 2 Chronicles. I'm sorry. That joke just never gets old. 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 1. And it happened in the spring of the year, at the time kings go out to battle, that Joab led out the armed forces and ravaged the country of the people of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem, and Joab defeated Rabbah and overthrew it. Then David took their king's crown from his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold, and there were precious stones in it, and it was set on David's head. Also, he brought out the spoil of the city in great abundance, and he brought out the people who were in it and put them to work with saws and irons, picks, and with iron picks and with axes. Okay, so that's the Chronicles version. The version in of, you know, earlier in 2 Samuel is that when kings went off to war, David was up on his rooftop watching Bathsheba, while her husband Uriah, one of David's mighty men, was out fighting. David was undermining his house while Uriah was fighting for David's authority and respected the men that he served along. David was actually doing things that he should not have done. Joab was leading the army out, but it said kings were the ones who were supposed to go off to war. And, you know, I would like to encourage you in this way, and that is, if there's a battle, God has a battle plan. If there's a problem, God has a process that he wants to utilize in order to bring victory in that situation. So here, a couple of weeks ago at our, a little over a week ago, we had our missions Sunday, and we asked people to make faith promises. And I've done faith promises for years and years and years. And this year, as I was sitting there and being ministered to, God dropped this little word in my heart, and that is, where there is a promise, there's a process that I'm going to utilize. And so I'm praying that God will give us the process, not just to accomplish our missions giving goal, but to enable us to go through and accomplish all of the things that God has set before us. So there is a process. The process was the kings were supposed to lead out into battle. Now, that doesn't mean that they engaged every individual soldier of the opposing army, but they weren't supposed to be just back there watching the battle either. There's an old joke about a person who was in a battle, and the firefight was very intense and everybody was getting defeated, and so he took off and started running from the battle line. He came upon somebody and he said, what's going on? And he said, our forces are being overrun, and so I'm in full retreat mode. And the person said, look, I'm I'm a superior officer, and I'm ordering you not to retreat, but to go back to the battle. And he said, no, sir, I'm not going to do it. And this went back and forth, and you know, I'm commanding you, I'm ordering you, no, sir, I'm not going to do it. And he said, look, I'm a general, and I am ordering you to go back to the battle. And the soldier responded and said, I'm sorry, sir, I didn't realize I had retreated so far away from the front. That was that general style, was to be so far away from the battle that he didn't even know what was going on. The pastors are not only supposed to empower the saints and equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, but we're supposed to do the work of the ministry as well. So I'm constantly looking for ways to help train people. There are some things that we're looking to grow in 2019, but I don't want to abdicate my responsibility, because if we fail to lead when God has positioned us to lead and called us to lead, someone else will end up leading. Joab was not near the man of God that David was. Joab was his cousin. God used him mightily, but Joab had major character flaws. Joab had major authority issues, and those issues ultimately led to his downfall. If we listen, someone once said this: leadership fills a vacuum. And so I want to encourage you that if God has given you a position of authority for you to lead, that you don't abdicate that responsibility. Because if you're negligent in your biblical leadership, someone else will rise up and lead. And it will not work out well for you, it will not work out well for them, and it will not work out well for those who are to be led by them. And so remember that you are supposed to lead them into engaging. I'm not just called to give a message that sounds good to the ear. Every sermon should be a battle plan of some sort. It should be either a victory over sin or a victory over another area of life. It should be an equipping to go out and see breakthrough. There needs to be a battle plan. Let me take you to Isaiah chapter 63. It might take us all day to get through this one. Isaiah chapter 63. And verse number 12. Verse number 11. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the deep, who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they might not stumble. And that's as a beast goes down into the valley and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. Okay? And so here we see once again, back to Moses again, that God led the people by the right hand of Moses, but it was with his glorious arm. It was a glorious touch. When we have a relationship with God, remember, Moses would go into the presence of God. When he came out of the presence of God, people could tell he had been in the presence of God. There were miracles after miracles after miracles. And it wasn't a heavy-handed approach. It was a glorious touch. It was a glorious, glorious touch, and we need that type of leadership in our lives. We need that kind of leadership in our churches. It's not just because I say so. That works in my house when my kids are young. You know, well, why? Well, right now, because I said so, and that's the only reason you, that's the best reason I know, and the only reason you need. That was, but then later on, we'd come and say, okay, now this was the reason. But sometimes you don't have time for a debate. Sometimes you just need to make sure that you can follow a biblical order. And so I've been so blessed with such wonderful, wonderful kids. And I, listen, they're smarter than I am. But they still come to me. Many of them have different leadership skills than I do, but I'm thankful for the relationship that we have, and probably the most satisfying thing is when people see them and recognize Christ in them. That's really exciting for me. So here in Isaiah chapter 63, we see that God led by human authority, but he also led with a glorious touch, and he also led them with a strong right with strength. He led them with a glorious touch and with strength. God is not a God of weakness. He is a God of strength. He also led them through deep and dangerous situations in a manner that would prevent them from stumbling. Okay? So here, there are two great aspirations that I have in my leadership. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I really want to hear that. I also want to lead people so that I am not a stumbling block to them. And so there are things that I don't participate in because I don't want to be a stumbling block. I like to help people to succeed, not to set them up for failure. And so if somebody comes to church and they have a desire to participate in a certain ministry, if there's some level of anointing and giftedness in that area, then I will say, okay, well, you know, if you want to give this a shot, we can give this a shot. Now, and if it doesn't work out, then we say, you know what, I am so thankful that you went into this process to discover whether it was God's area for you or it wasn't for you. There are a lot of people who will never step out because they don't want to fail. Now, I will tell you that because of some of the issues of my past, I have a difficult time asking people to serve because I've had so many people in the past that when I've asked them to serve, they get scared to death by it, and they end up leaving the church, and it's strictly because I asked them, you know, could you help? And it wasn't anything you know drastic. It was like, hey, would you know, you operate with a tremendous level of excellence in this area of your life. Do you see anything in this area that we could do better? And never see the person again. And so when I find people who are excited to serve and things like that, I want to give them that possibility because I want to set them up to succeed. Here, God led his people in a manner through Moses, through the Holy Spirit, in a manner that was going to prevent stumbling. Okay? He led them through the deep. So it doesn't matter if the problem seems bigger than you are, God can still lead you through it. as a beast goes down into the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you lead your people. God leads us in a manner that will compel us to rest. So a week ago yesterday, I had three short days of sleep. Sleep is something that sometimes is a bit elusive for me, my schedule and things like that. And I was in the office, and I went to my office manager and I said, you know what? I need to go home and rest. I am not functioning on a very high level right at the moment, and I need to go home and rest. And that wasn't go home and take a nap. I didn't do that. I didn't go home to sit there and veg out in front of the television. I just went to position myself where I could be refreshed and bring the rest to my body and to my mind that I needed, so that I could be better equipped for what I needed to do the next day. If God leads you to a season of rest, I do not know this particular individual. I just know of this particular individual, and they have been driven into a season of rest, and it is driving them crazy. Now, I believe that it's a season of supernatural rest. I don't think you're supposed to get into that place where you don't have any responsibilities or any activities whatsoever. But this person is like they are missing the season that God has for them. And the reason that I can tell them that is because I've been in that season. I've been in the place where they are, where they have a calling, and they're not getting to utilize that calling. But these people are so frustrated that they're missing out on the rest that God wants to give to them before the next season comes, which may be a very demanding physical season. God leads us not to a place where we are in just a bunch of frenzied activity, but he leads us to a place where we can enter that supernatural rest that God has for us. And the ultimate goal of that leadership that God has for us is to lead us to a place to make that will make his name glorious. Make his name glorious. Whatever opportunity you've got before you right now, have it as your goal. Make God, I want your name to be made glorious. If you're dealing with physical problems right now, say, God, I may not be able to do everything that I once was able to do physically, but God, I want your name to be glorious in this place. Every place I go, may your name be glorious. One last thing on leadership, and then we'll move on to another topic tomorrow about leadership, is that when God calls those who are to be led in authority, they need to strengthen themselves. Leaders cannot lead out of weakness or inferiority. They cannot lead when they're putting all of their efforts into their own survival and dealing with their own fragility. You might find this surprising, but because of the many diverse issues that pastors deal with, you know, there's not only the preaching responsibilities and the teaching responsibilities, the praying responsibilities, the studying responsibilities, the winning the lost responsibilities, the discipling the saints, the finances, the building, the legal issues, the governmental regulations, the casting of vision, the hiring of staff, unfortunately, sometimes the releasing of staff. There are so many things that go on, dealing with so many different types of personalities. There are so, and that's just in the church. And then you take that, and then you've got the issues with your home and your family and your finances. And believe it or not, sometimes vehicles break down in our household. Sometimes, like a couple of Fridays ago, I was dealing with plumbing issues. I mean, just so many different things that sometimes pastors are some of the most insecure people around. And simply because they're overwhelmed. There's so many different directions that the enemy can attack in. So if you are called to lead today, if you're in a position of leadership where you are wanting to lead people in a path that brings them out so you can bring them in, so you can lead them in a path that is, they're going to experience the glorious presence of God, where you're going to lead them in a manner in which they will not stumble, but you need to strengthen yourself. I need to strengthen myself. I tell you what I don't do. I don't come in here before I have prepared myself to be able to speak to you. I do whatever is necessary to make sure that when I come in here to present this glorious truth that God has in His Word, that I strengthen myself so that I can impart the wisdom of God to you. I want to do it not just so that I can say, yeah, you know, I did the radio program. I want it to be a ministry that causes the name of Jesus Christ to be on glorious manifestation in your life and in my life. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior, Healer, Coming King, Lover of my soul. He who doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. He deserves a glorious representation of His name. Let's equip ourselves so that we can lead people into a wonderful relationship with Jesus. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.